Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and it is Game 7 day for the World Series as Justin Verlander and the Houston Astros couldn't get it done on Game 6 last night, Tuesday night, against the LA Dodgers, forcing a Game 7. It was the first loss for Verlander and his Astros career since JV was traded from the Detroit Tigers over the summer. But he was a stud once again, and I'm sure I'm not alone as a Detroiter rooting for the Houston Astros tonight to pull off the Game 7 win and get Verlander his ring. Meanwhile, the Pistons dropped a tough one to the LA Lakers on Tuesday night on the road at Staples Center, falling 113-93. We're going to talk a lot about that game, of course. And then about who's kind of public enemy number one for Pistons fans right now. The player that the Pistons fans hate pretty much on Twitter and on Reddit forums right now. And he deserves it for how he's played somewhat so far this season. And we're going to talk about what that player needs to do to get it going. And we're going to also talk about something that happened after the game, after the Pistons lost, that might be interesting for Pistons fans to keep in the back of their mind as they're looking ahead, especially to the offseason this summer in free agency. So, like I said, a 113-93 loss to the LA Lakers, the young LA Lakers. Pistons fall to 5-3 on the season. And then the West Coast road trip at 2-1, which is definitely a success, but kind of tough to swallow when you handle the tougher teams in the first two games, especially on a back-to-back with the Clippers and the Warriors, and then you struggle to close out against the weakest of the three teams, the LA Lakers at home. So let's take a look inside the box score. The number one thing that jumps out is the Pistons shot just three free throws the entire game and did not attempt a free throw until there was 6 minutes and 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So about midway through the fourth quarter, Reggie Jackson had an and one and finished it with a free throw make to bring the team within 99-86. And then Eric Moreland added a couple of garbage time free throw misses with 33 seconds left in the game. So the Pistons finished 1-for-3 from the line, which is a crazy statistic. Vince Ellis, the Free Press, reported it late on Twitter that it was a franchise low for the Pistons in their history. So it couldn't have been much uglier from that regard. I think a lot of Pistons fans are getting a little tired of officials. I think it's something that all NBA team fan bases go through. They think that their team is wronged on a nightly basis by the Zebras. But I think the Pistons, over the years, have had maybe a little bit more of a gripe because they don't get a lot of the superstar calls because they didn't, frankly, haven't had a lot of superstars over the years. And I think that that's resonating a little bit because the tough loss at Washington where they're victim to some fourth quarter mismanagement by the refs. And also I think in the first half on Saturday night against the LA Clippers when they fell behind, I think they were struggling a little bit with some of the calls there. So to have a team go through a whole 3.5 quarters without shooting a free throw in this NBA is pretty tough. I think that Tobias Harris might have deserved a couple of calls throughout the game, but be that as it may, the Pistons got run off the court by a better LA Lakers team on the night. Tobias Harris did have 18 points along with Reggie Jackson to lead the way for the Pistons in the loss. It kind of looked a little bit like the Golden State game early on with most everyone kind of struggling offensively except for Jackson, who kind of carried the load there a little bit early on. But the other guys never did pick up the slack, and the defensive pressure and efficiency wasn't nearly good enough to bring the Pistons back on the road against a pumped-up Lakers team that smelled blood early on. Again, they're one of those teams like Philly we talked about last week that there's a lot of talent and there's going to be a lot of inconsistency when you have such a young team. So don't be surprised if the Lakers get a few of these nice wins throughout the year. They're not going to be a playoff team, but those young guys are going to get some momentum going throughout some games, especially if they play well early on. And they are going to, like I said, beat some teams that maybe you might not expect as the season goes on. Boban was active and did not play, so the internet can kind of keep their grumbling going about that. Rookie Luke Kennard was inactive once again for the Pistons on this West Coast swing. The biggest plus-minus offenders on the box score were the Reggies. Bullock and Jackson were both minus 16s on the game, so a tough night for them. Reggie Bullock missed some open shots, and Jackson struggled defensively against Lonzo Ball and others throughout the game as well. The Lakers, for their efforts, had seven guys in double figures with a familiar face. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope scoring 13 points. He outplayed his counterpart, Avery Bradley, who was 4 of 17 on an ugly night. He finished 0 for 5 from 3. KCP walked away from the Detroit Pistons after Avery Bradley was acquired in a trade from the Boston Celtics over the offseason. So those guys' careers will be linked, at least for the foreseeable near-term future, as Pistons fans think about what could have been with KCP and what is with AB. Of course, I think they'll be pretty happy with how things are going so far this season, but advantage KCP on the night for sure. Lonzo Ball, the second pick of the NBA draft, he of the famous father, LeVar, had 13 points and 6 rebounds. Isaiah Thomas, Piston legend, in the pregame said, if you are judging Lonzo by his points per game, you are missing the point. And Lonzo was very good tonight, despite the fact that he wasn't an outstanding scorer and probably won't be this season, save for a few games here and there. But he ran the floor well for the Lakers, kind of kept things going offensively. He played really well, and you got to hand it to him. Another aside from the NBA TV studio show is that Zeke said that Tobias Harris would be an all-star this year. We will definitely see about that. But in this Eastern Conference, it would certainly be conceivable that Tobias Harris could sneak on to a watered-down all-star team. The two leading scorers off the bench for the Lakers were Julius Randle had 17 points and Kyle Kuzma had 16. So two guys off the bench led the way in scoring as the Pistons bench got outscored, which is something we haven't seen very often and don't expect to see much throughout the season, although the Lakers are a team that goes scoring heavy on that bench. So really not a huge surprise there. Another slow start by the Pistons. Stan Van Gundy said before the game on Tuesday in the morning shoot-around that he was anxious about how his team would look after they did not practice on Monday. It's the second time that scenario happened, as the tired Pistons did not practice the day before that stinker at home against Philly in downtown Detroit, the only game that I've been to so far this season. The Pistons now will be back at home this weekend for the beginning of a 5-game homestand, which will start on Friday night against the Milwaukee Bucks and continue with a back-to-back on Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings. The homestand will continue with a few days off, and then next Wednesday the Pistons are going to play the Indiana Pacers, and then the Hawks and the Heat are going to be around downtown Detroit the following weekend after that as well. Wanted to talk to you guys about a new promotion that we have here on the Lockdown Network called Draft.com. It's a daily fantasy draft app that it's the best I've used, and I won a draft on Monday night myself. And you can join me on the app and download it in the App Store or go online and create an account on draft.com. Use the promo code LOPISTONS, all capital letters, to get free entry in your first game. And you can follow me at Matt Shook, all one word, Matt, S-C-H-O-C-H. And I'll invite you into the Locked On Pistons draft, which is on Wednesday. As you hear this podcast, you can sign up for it. And if you follow me, I'll also invite you into the game. And I also have a link on my Twitter profile to find that game. If that one fills up, we'll start some other ones as well. We'll be drafting in that game and the others that I set up at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, right before a full slate of Wednesday night games. We'll be doing these contests on Wednesday nights for the next couple weeks and seeing how they go. And if you like them, and stick around and check out the app and see what you think about some daily fantasy basketball. Like I said, if that draft fills up, we'll make another one throughout the day. And as you listen to this, we're taping this late on Tuesday night. If there are any updates on what the drafts are, what the links are, just follow me on Twitter at Matt_ and then Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. So join me at draft.com. Yes, sir! Well, we're 8 games into the Pistons season. I think it's time that we can have some of these tough conversations about some of the players that fans are starting to loathe as they struggle in the early season. And the one that is public enemy number one for fans on the Twitters and the Reddits and all that stuff is John Luehr right now, who is in his second season with the Detroit Pistons. He was bad again on Tuesday night. He had 4 points and 4 rebounds and was a minus 12 in his 10 minutes of play off the bench. Stan Van Gundy has said a few times that John Luehr is his team's best post defender, but we certainly haven't seen that yet this year. Contract-wise, John has 3 years left on his deal, 2 years after this season, which is about $10 million a year. He's the fourth highest-paid Piston, which is something that's kind of staggering when you look at his production compared to some of his teammates. He's one of those bad contracts that Stan Van Gundy splurged upon last summer as he was looking for any kind of bench to help out the team. And it's a tough one to think about contract-wise for the Pistons, especially in the early going, as he's averaging 5.6 points and 4.0 rebounds in just 18 minutes per game. And his minutes have been declining as the Pistons have been playing well as of late, with Anthony Tolliver getting some of his backup power forward position power forward minutes, with John Luehr's minutes pretty much coming pretty much as the backup center. And that's not a good thing, as he's not much of a rim protector. And really, you might think that Boban might be a better option kind of going forward in terms of that backup five position. Last year, Lure averaged a career-high 10.2 points per game, the only time he's averaged double figures in his journeyman career. He was very good for the Pistons early in the season, and then was very bad as he stumbled down the stretch and was pretty much a non-factor for the team as the team struggled and crumbled out of the Eastern Conference playoff race. He was 38% from 3 2 years ago in his only season with the Phoenix Suns, which caught the eye of Stan Van Gundy last offseason, but he shot just 29% from three last year for the Pistons. And it's important because when you got a player like Andre Drummond that's going to be taking up a lot of space in the middle, you kind of need to be stretching the floor a little bit, especially as some of your other offensive options like Tobias Harris and Reggie Jackson need their space to make things happen. And we've seen Avery Bradley coming off the screens a lot, and he's more of a perimeter shooter than maybe some of those other guys. So, you know, it's good to have Lure kind of stay out of the way when he's with Andre Drummond on the court. And then when he is playing five, to kind of, you know his role and maybe create some space for some of the other better offensive players. But forget three-pointers so far this year for Lure. His mid-range jumpers haven't even been close to going in. He's had some ugly shots in the early going of the season. There was some thoughts in the offseason about Lure possibly being a starter coming into this year, but certainly his play, along with other forwards, Tobias Harris and Stanley Johnson, has shown that Van Gundy certainly made the correct move in bringing Lure off the bench this year. Kind of the late-breaking news on Lure is that he suffered a sprained left ankle on Tuesday night against the Lakers, according to Rod Beard of the Detroit News. And it might be good for him to kind of sit down a little bit and kind of maybe Stan Van Gundy tell him to take the weekend off or something like that with these next couple Pistons games, because I kind of agree with the fans here that maybe Boban deserves some of those minutes, and Stan Van Gundy might be able to use that ankle as an excuse to let Lure kind of sit down a little bit and maybe get a little bit of a, you know, vacation or whatever and get his mind right and do whatever he needs else to do to get healthy and get his confidence back in his offensive game. Because the Pistons, they're a little thin up front, as we know. They got Andre Drummond leading the way for the front court. But as far as other bangers and guys who can rebound, there's just not a lot there for the Pistons. Like I said, Stan Van Gundy thinks that Lure can do the job defensively for his team, but will he be enough of a rebounder and will he be enough of a confidence, you know, booster for the offense? Will his confidence be enough for him to be on the court offensively is what I'm trying to say. So I wonder if what Lure's role will be going forward. We might just need to see him kind of slide onto the fringe of the rotation for a little while before things get better with him. But he did have the one good game against Washington this year, so it's not been a complete disaster for John Lure. But it's just a storyline that's beginning to unfold a little bit for Pistons fans as the season goes on. And it's one of those nagging things like Reggie Jackson struggles last year that kind of could turn into a really a season-long thing if it's not either taken care of in the rotation minutes department or in his production department. So it's a thing to keep an eye on going forward. I wanted to highlight a late-night Twitter nugget from Rod Beard of the Detroit News to close the show today, as the Pistons had the loss to the Los Angeles Lakers at the Staples Center. Afterwards, former Piston Kentavious Caldwell-Pope joined his teammates in the locker room. He was dressed in his Halloween costume, which was Steve Urkel from Family Matters. Did I do that? And Steve Urkel was a big part of my childhood, so I got to hand it to KCP for a nice costume there. But he went and visited some of his Piston friends after the game in the locker room. So, you know, just something to think about. I mentioned it on the show yesterday that Avery Bradley is going to be a free agent after this season, as will KCP after he only signed a one-year deal with the Lakers this past year. KCP's agent, Rich Paul, is the same agent that LeBron James has, and Rich Paul made a real aggressive plea for a long-term deal for KCP in the offseason, and they whiffed completely, as they figured maybe some teams would come with a strong offer sheet that the Pistons would have a chance to match. That offer sheet offer never really came, and what did come was the chance for the Pistons to acquire Avery Bradley, who was a little bit further in his development and further in his career, and the Pistons made a pretty nice move to unload Marcus Morris, although he was a pretty valuable asset himself, and pick up Bradley, who's kind of helped out the defense in the early going and been a pretty reliable scorer himself for the Pistons so far this year. So KCP took a one-year flyer with the LA Lakers. Maybe he's trying out for a long-term deal with them, as LeBron James could be looking west
to join the Lakers next year, or maybe he's making an audition to try to get that long-term deal somewhere else next summer. And maybe that place could be in Detroit. Maybe the Pistons could be a potential future landing spot for KCP. Stan Van Gundy thought enough about him to pick him number 8 in the draft a few years ago, so obviously he liked him back then. And there's no indication to say that there was bad blood or that Stan Van Gundy really didn't want KCP back. But, of course, when they brought Avery Bradley into the fold, there was no way that the numbers were going to work, as the Pistons have all sorts of salary cap problems themselves. It's just another story to keep an eye on. Of course, Piston fans are going to keep an eye on KCP this year anyway, but maybe think about him in terms of how he might fit in with the Detroit Pistons if he returns back in the future. So just something to think about as the season goes on there. But I want to thank you guys for joining me for another episode of Locked On Pistons. We'll be back hopefully with a guest later on this week as we prepare for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Sacramento Kings this weekend at Little Caesars Arena. Go ahead and pick up some tickets. If you haven't seen the arena yet, it's a nice place to check out some basketball, and it's nice to be back in the city of Detroit and back downtown for some exciting action and live events and everything that's going to be coming with Little Caesars Arena in the future. So the Pistons fall to the Los Angeles Lakers that are now 5-3, but another nice West Coast swing for the Pistons as the season rolls on. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.